Hello, this is Sharon, and I will be bringing you the pantograph for today, which is Wednesday, July 17th, 2019. We will begin today's reading on the front page with an article entitled, Like a Comet, Carrier Helmsman BHS Grad Recalls Apollo 11's Return. Bloomington native Kenneth Hoback met Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins, the Apollo 11 astronauts. But Hoback wasn't an astronaut. He was the U.S. Navy helmsman who steered the aircraft carrier that retrieved the command module after it returned to Earth, splashing into the Pacific Ocean. "To me, it's pretty special," Hoback said of his role in the history-making Apollo 11 mission. "About half of the people I served with aboard the aircraft carrier USS Hornet at the time are already gone," observed Hoback, 73. This, the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing, brings back a lot of memories, he said. Hoback, who lives in Troy near St. Louis, made a trip to Bloomington recently to visit family and share his Navy and Apollo 11 memories and memorabilia with the pantograph. Hoback was born in Mattoon and was raised in Bloomington. After graduating from Bloomington High School, he joined the Navy. He found out several weeks before splashdown that the Hornet was going to pick up the command module. A week or two beforehand, he was asked if he would be willing to donate blood to Armstrong if he needed a blood transfusion after returning to Earth. "I have O negative blood, the same type that Neil Armstrong had," Hoback recalled. "About a dozen guys on board had O negative blood." The moon landing was July 20, 1969, and the command module splashed down in the Pacific 4 days later. "It looked like a comet for a few seconds as it approached Earth," he recalled. Among those looking on was President Richard Nixon, who had arrived on the Hornet a couple hours earlier to greet the returning astronauts. The module splashed down several miles from the Hornet. Helicopters were dispatched to pick up the three astronauts, who were brought to the Hornet and placed in a quarantine shelter to prevent the potential spread of contamination. Meanwhile, Hoback steered the 44,000-ton ship to the command module, which was lifted onto the flight deck. After doing so, Hoback stood a few feet behind Nixon, who was greeting the astronauts through a window of the quarantine shelter. "He talked with them for 15 to 20 minutes and then he was off," Hoback recalled. The Hornet carried the astronauts to Pearl Harbor. From there, they were taken to the Space Center in Houston. They remained in quarantine for 21 days. Hoback got to meet and got autographs from the three astronauts during a 30th anniversary celebration in 1999 in Washington, D.C. "I sat next to astronaut John Glenn and he shook my hand," Hoback recalled. "I met and got autographs from all three of them, Armstrong, Aldrin, and Collins," Hoback said. Neil Armstrong was quieter. The only one who was outgoing was Buzz Aldrin. Hoback plans to go to San Francisco this month for an anniversary celebration on the Hornet. "I'll go," he said. "Only about half of us who served on board the Hornet are left." Hoback's role in Apollo 11 is appreciated by family members. "When I was a kid growing up in the 70s, he'd tell us stories about being in the Navy and Apollo 11, said Hoback's nephew, Todd Hoback, a Bloomington native now living in Las Vegas. "I fondly remember him telling us stories of picking up the astronauts after they splashed down," Todd recalled. "That was a cool connection for our family." Arena's deficit reduced. Grossinger Motors Arena posted a fourth quarter net operating profit of $24,154, putting the downtown entertainment venue on track for a huge deficit reduction. "We're very happy to report the good news," said Lynn Cannon, Venue Works Executive Director for the arena. The Ames, Iowa-based arena management firm has been operating the venue for the city since April 2016. The fourth quarter operating profit was less than expected, but it helped the arena to post an unaudited net operating loss of $270,921 for fiscal 2019, which ended on April 30th. It's actually a big improvement over the previous 2 years. Our first 2 years here, we lost about $660,000 each year, said Cannon. So it's a huge deficit reduction, which is what we were trying to accomplish. Even though we made money, we didn't actually hit our budget number for revenue in that fourth quarter, but we did hit it overall for expenses, said Cannon. The big impact last year was in the utility costs, she explained. Our electricity costs were much further reduced than we had anticipated, said Cannon. I think that was a combination of a couple of things. The city has been replacing our overhead lighting with LED fixtures, which brings down the cost of electricity in the building. Also, there was a new electric provider contract that kicked in last year and was able to reduce our expenses in that area. Some turnover in management staff at the arena provided an opportunity to reduce payroll by combining some jobs. So we are a little bit more lean in full-time employment, said Cannon. This is better news than what we had anticipated, said Mayor Terry Renner. I want to continue to work with Venue Works in moving forward so that we can make the Coliseum as useful and productive as possible. We want to reduce the cost to city taxpayers and to increase the number of events we have to stimulate our local economy. Venue Works estimated the arena's contribution to the local economy during the fourth quarter at $4.1 million, based on economic impact formulas from the Bloomington Normal Area Convention and Visitors Bureau and the Illinois Office of Tourism. The facility has operated for most of its 13-year history at a loss under Venue Works and its former management firm, Central Illinois Arena Management. When CIAM, whose officials are now embroiled in criminal charges alleging embezzlement and fraud, opted not to renew its 10-year contract, the city hired Venue Works, which took over management on April 1, 2016. Venue Works also had a former employee charged with financial misconduct. That case is pending. In the first 2 years, there was a lot of maintenance and upkeep that we had to overcome, said Cannon. We had to do a lot of work with the hockey team to get the dasher boards and the back of house area up to speed for them. Unlike in past years, Cannon also noted that Illinois Flying Aces hockey and the Bloomington Edge football teams played all their games during the fiscal year. Venue Works was able to book about 13 entertainment events and were able to accomplish something that we hadn't done in the previous years, and that was all of all events were profitable this past year. Country musician Kane Brown and hip-hop rapper Juice WRLD were among recent sold-out concerts. The Hot Wheels Monster Truck Show and others also were well attended, said Cannon. I think having a better understanding of the market and being able to bring these successful shows to town really did impact our ability to bring the deficit down, she said. The city currently pays Venue Works an annual management fee of $114,000 plus 5% commission on food, beverage, and other sales at the arena, including naming rights. an amended management agreement approved by the City Council in April caps the city's subsidy for operating losses at the arena at $350,000 for the remainder of its management contract, which runs through 2021. If the operating deficit exceeds $350,000, VenueWorks will cover that amount by cutting up to 50% of its base management fee and other variables, according to the new terms. VenueWorks operating costs do not include the arena's construction bonds, capital improvement projects, or depreciation, for which the city is responsible. And here's today's Flick Fact. Question, true or false? Is it illegal to buy a bottle of water at a Bloomington bar or pub and attempt to walk out of the place with it? And the answer? While seldom enforced, that is legally correct. It is illegal to carry out any liquid from a Bloomington business that serves alcohol. Today in history. Today is Wednesday, July 17th. It's the 198th day of 2019, and there are 167 days left in the year. Today's highlight, on July 17th, 1996, TWA Flight 800, a Europe-bound Boeing 747, exploded and crashed off of Long Island, New York, shortly after departing John F. Kennedy International Airport, killing all 230 people on board. On this date in 1821, Spain ceded Florida to the United States. In 1862, during the Civil War, Congress approved the Second Confiscation Act, which declared that all slaves taking refuge behind Union lines were to be set free. In 1918, Russia's Tsar Nicholas II and his family were executed by the Bolsheviks. In 1944, during World War II, 320 men, two-thirds of them African Americans, were killed when a pair of ammunition ships exploded at the Port Chicago Naval Magazine in California. In 1945, following Nazi Germany's surrender, President Harry S. Truman, Soviet leader Joseph Stalin, and British Prime Minister Winston S. Churchill began meeting at Potsdam in the final Allied summit of World War II. How time flies. Locally, 100 years ago, on July 17, 1919, the War Department is sending some of its generals here on the lecture circuit. One is Brigadier General W. H. Naylor, who it turns out was born in Bloomington. This was unknown until he sent a brief bio in a letter to the promoter, James Shaw. 75 years ago, on July 17, 1944, the village of Morton is buying the old Campbell House, or Bartlemy Estate. The house and six lots go back to 1830, when James Campbell bought the land from the government. An old story goes that the house is haunted, but no more. It will become a parking lot. 50 years ago, July 17, 1969, Donald Pitcher of 428 Linden did not report as scheduled for eventual duty in Vietnam. Instead, he sent the Army a certified letter saying he would rather go to prison than to kill or assist in the killing in Vietnam. 3 days later, the Army ordered his arrest. And 25 years ago, on July 17, 1994, Downs has annexed 69 acres along I-74 near the exit. Owner Lyle Reeder has been contacting oil companies to see if there's any interest in locating a gas station on the land. In the next 10 or 20 years, he'd like to see a motel and a restaurant there, too. Crime Stoppers. Man Wanted for Sex Offender Registration and False Information. Bloomington Crime Stoppers of McLean County needs the public's help in finding a person who is wanted for felony charges. Caleb Shannon, 20, is 5 feet 11 inches tall and weighs 150 pounds. He has black hair and brown eyes. His last known address is in Hayworth, Illinois. Shannon is wanted for sex offender registration and false information. Crime Stoppers will pay cash rewards of up to $1,000 for information leading to the arrest and indictment of people who commit felony crimes in McLean County. To report a crime to Crime Stoppers, you can call 309-828-1111. We continue with some more local news. Liquor okay, eyed for park pantry. The Bloomington Liquor Commission has again recommended approval of a liquor license request opposed by many residents in a West Bloomington neighborhood near Miller Park. Mayor Terry Renner, who heads the three-member commission, had hoped Tuesday to reach a compromise with opponents to allow Ajit Singh, former owner of Hotspot Grocery and Liquor at 1102 North Hershey Road, to open Park Pantry at 906 South Morris Avenue and sell all kinds of packaged alcohol 7 days a week at the convenience store. But at the special liquor commission meeting at City Hall, a dozen people queued up to deliver variation on the same message. A convenience store is okay as long as it doesn't sell alcohol. Others said they supported the store because they knew Singh to be a good businessman who would not allow problems at his store. With the other two commissioners split on a decision, Renner cast the tie-breaking vote to recommend council approval of the liquor license with some added conditions. Residents in the neighborhood said they were not happy with the store's plan to sell liquor because of problems they experienced when a previous liquor store occupied the same site for 47 years. That store has since closed. Others have objected because there already are other businesses within a half mile, that sell liquor. I understand the past 47 years were bad, but this is the present and future conversation, said Commissioner Lindsay Powell, who supports the license. She favored, however, new restrictions beyond ones already recommended last month, including banning the sale of single-serving containers and reviewing compliance with restrictions within 6 months. If there are problems, the commission can revoke the license, she said. Commissioner Jim Jordan sided with neighbors. I think I would have to vote in favor of what the neighbors say because they live there, Jordan said. Businesses come and go. I looked at the addresses of the people who said they were in favor of this, and a lot of them don't even live in the area. Rich Marvel, attorney for Singh, said the convenience store would not open there without a liquor license. Renner said it was a very difficult decision for him to make. As mayor, on the one hand, I don't want an abandoned building to stay. We do want to encourage investment, he said. Ultimately, this will go to the city council on Monday night to decide. Hayworth farmer joins county board. William Frederick warned his new colleagues Tuesday, "Don't be offended if you wave to me on the street and I don't wave back. That would be my twin brother Bob," he said. "We're not snobby. Bob just doesn't know ya. It worked well in the younger years, but as we get older, it gets a little more challenging that there's two of us out there." Eastern McLean County residents may also have deja vu as county officials choose another farmer and business owner to replace Scott Murphy on the county board. the third-generation farmer and owner of Frederick Farms, a corn and soybean grower, was appointed to the open District 2 seat on Tuesday. Frederick, a Hayworth Republican, will serve until December 2020 to finish the term of Murphy, who resigned last month to move from Downs to Bloomington. Frederick said he'll seek election to the seat in November 2020 and continue to serve as chair of the Bloomington Township Public Water District. "I'm a businessman and looking out for the interests of average businessmen," he said. Frederick emerged from a field of five: Chelsea Leffelman of Bellflower, Ruth Noviscott of Bloomington, Clarence Thomas of Hayworth, and Martin Tipsword of Saybrook, also interviewed with the board's executive committee last week. "He had majority support of the board members, which I polled, although we had five good applicants," said County Board Chair John McIntyre. "He seemed to fill the role and Mr. Murphy's seat for the district, in my opinion." Frederick will serve on the board's property and transportation committees. Murphy was replaced as property committee chair by Josh Barnett, also a Republican, who previously served as vice chair. District 2 covers parts of South and East Bloomington, as well as rural areas to the south and east. Republican Jim Soldner of Ellsworth, the board's vice chair, also represents District 2. Officials spar over alleged poaching of Bloomington firm. Normal Mayor Chris Coos is trying to smooth things over with the city of Bloomington after a Normal council member encouraged a business to move from the city to the town. Normal Town Council honors the agreement not to poach businesses from Bloomington, Coos wrote in a letter to city officials. "I'm most concerned by these breaches of protocols between the two municipalities." The city and town generally work together to bring businesses to the Twin Cities and don't entice them to move from one municipality to the other. That became an issue in 2017 after Normal issued a statement condemning the city as an untrustworthy partner, in part for poaching businesses. Coos wrote in his letter that Normal council member Stan Nord, however, tried to recruit a Bloomington business to move to one uptown on the circle in Normal. Nord also approached Bloomington Fire Chief Brian Moore about combining departments or stations with Normal. Coos commended that as well, writing, "It has been determined that a joint fire station was untenable. There has never been any discussion among the town of Normal staff or council as to combining departments." Nord, who was elected in April after criticizing Coos and his administration, said Monday he wants to find a new tenant for one uptown offices that the town leases an unusually high rent. "I know you have issues with the second floor of one uptown," Coos told Nord during Monday's council meeting. "I'll be reaching out to other council members to get their input on that." Nord told the Pantograph the business approached him after looking at other sites in Normal, and he passed their information to the town staff and to the Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council for follow-up. "To claim I am poaching from Bloomington is trying to create scandal," said Nord. "I hope the publicity the mayor has brought to this does not hurt his opportunity for the taxpayers to save a lot of money." On the issue of fire departments, Nord said he and Moore are childhood friends and he didn't feel their conversation was inappropriate. "I wanted to see if there was any chance and to hear the history as to why things didn't work out," said Nord. "My background is in business, so my view is if something is worth doing, you keep trying until you're successful." Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner said the issues are certainly disturbing. "I'm very glad Mayor Coos brought them to our attention. I think that helps us to continue the trust we've worked on so very hard," he said. "We've got a total of 17 elected officials for Bloomington and Normal. Every single one of them can't go it alone whenever they feel like. I certainly would hope it would never happen again on either side of Division Street. Coos said he hasn't spoken to Nord about the issues, but the city manager, Pam Reese, has. It's not something you think you'd have to do. You shouldn't be doing that, said Coos. During council orientation and the council retreat, we talked about the roles of city council members and of mayor, and it would be pretty clear this was stepping out of bounds. Coos also clamped down on Nord's comments during Monday's council meeting, saying discussion of routine items is not the right place to reiterate policy decisions like One Uptown. I would prefer if the mayor assumes I'm doing something he asks before he makes something public, said Nord. Coos and Renner both told the Pantograph combining the fire departments wouldn't be possible, in part due to union and labor practices. We already work together, said Renner, including sending first responders from one community to the other, depending which department's personnel are closest. Dick's Sporting Goods moved from Normal to Bloomington in 2016 with city incentives. Kroger has postponed a plan to move from 1550 East College Avenue in Normal to a greenfield site down the street in Bloomington after the city offered Kroger a $2.45 million sales tax rebate for the project. City and town officials talked in 2017 about sharing sales tax by population to discourage further poaching, but those conversations fizzled out. And here are a couple of contests. Register to win a $50 gift card to put towards gas, snacks, or summer fun during the On the Road Again Summer Sweepstakes. To enter, visit pantograph.com/contests. And you can also win a great Bloomington Normal merchandise carefully curated basket valued at $250. Here's how. Post a photo in your Instagram of one of the reasons why you love Bloomington Normal. Tag @pantograph_YBN in the photo. And then 3, use the hashtag YWHYBN and be sure to tell us why you love Bloomington Normal. To learn more, you can visit bit.ly/pantographYBN. Bloomington's 5-day forecast today will be humid with periods of sun, a high of 90. Tonight will be partly cloudy, the low will be 76. Thursday, mostly sunny, breezy, and hot, with a high of 95 and a low of 75. Friday will be sunny, breezy, and hot, with a high of 95 and a low of 76. Saturday will be mostly sunny and hot, a high of 94 and a low of 74. And Sunday, a strong thunderstorm in spots is possible. The high will be 87 and the low will be 66. We'll take a short break now and then I'll return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for today, which is July 17th, 2019. Please stay tuned.